We need to keep it super profesh.
Cool.
Do you want to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
Making out?
Yeah.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
There's just one little wrinkle.
The star of the movie,
Tom Rider,
is missing. We need you to find him.
Why me?
You're a stuntman. No one's going to notice whether you're here or not. No offense.
I mean, some taken.
And I have a sneaking suspicion that the director may notice her stuntman missing. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen him?
Oh, yeah.
I would notice if he was missing.
Anyway, hello and welcome to another episode of the Forever Fangirls podcast. I'm Sheila Amato, and along with my wife, Kimberly, we're your hosts, and we're glad you can join us.
Yes, and as you heard from the trailer, we are going to be reviewing The Fall Guy.
Yes, this film was released on May 3rd, 2024 in theaters, but we saw a special screening on May 1st, so that was really special. Anyway, our standard spoiler alert is in effect here, as we will be talking about specific plot points and themes. So, if you haven't seen The Fall Guy, the movie version, yet, you will be spoiled.
So, before we get into the movie facts and the budget and everything, I have to ask my dear wife, do you know what's happening in July?
It's your birthday month.
Oh, excellent answer. It's a very good answer. Just, you love me.
Yes, I do.
But beyond that, the dates of July 19th through the 21st ring a bell.
Oh, yes. Yes. How can I not remember that? That is so exciting.
Yes, it is extraordinarily exciting because we are basically announcing to all of our listening audience that we are going to be moderating the panels at To the Rescue.
Yes.
In London. And it is going to be July 19th through the 21st. I am so honored that the folks behind FanFusion UK asked us back.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to their website, fanfusionuk.com. You'll find information about tickets, extras, timing, hotels, everything. So, and the guest lineup, which is redonkulously fun.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. So pay attention to our socials because we will probably put up one of those things asking anybody, hey, you got questions? And just put them below. So that's about it. Let's jump right into the movie facts. You good?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So the 2024 blockbuster season is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I believe we would consider this, what, the first release?
Yes, but interestingly enough, I just noticed, you know, when I was watching the trailer again, that it was supposed to be released in March 2024.
Really?
So I'm like, oh, okay.
We've discussed this before. I think this whole year is going to be a lot of moving things around to fill in gaping holes and re-releases and all this other stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how things fly.
Absolutely.
But to discuss this, the budget was $130 million.
Mm-hmm.
It made $27.7 million opening weekend. Domestic, right?
That's domestic, yeah.
And $64.4 worldwide.
Yeah. And so some of the trivia from IMDb Pro, I thought this was rather interesting. The film cast includes three Oscar nominees, Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, and Stephanie Hsu from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nice.
And I couldn't remember where I saw her when we were watching the film. Like, oh, and I finally got it. I was like, yes. Awesome. Awesome film.
Great film, yeah.
Okay, so that's the first trivia. The second trivia is that Emily Blunt partially based her character on Greta Gerwig, explaining, with the warmth and charm, I guess there's a little Greta in there.
Aw.
So I'm like, oh. And now I was thinking, oh, Greta, and then Ryan, Barbie.
It all comes back to Barbie.
It does. And then the final trivia that I found interesting was that with the 8.5 car rolls that they did in the film, the movie breaks the Guinness World Record for the most car rolls.
Didn't they bring that up in the movie too?
I think so.
That's awesome.
And
I thought,
like,
they were just
wow.
kind of joking. I didn't know that was real.
Yeah.
That's
I'm like,
cool.
Oh, can you just imagine like being able to like roll? Oh,
no.
I can't.
No, I really can't. But anyway, the synopsis from Google is as follows. After leaving the business 1 year earlier, battle-scarred stuntman Colt Seavers springs back into action when the star of a big studio movie suddenly disappears. As the mystery surrounding the missing actor deepens, Colt soon finds himself ensnared in a sinister plot. The word sinister just makes your voice go down.
Right? No, that's just you.
Oh, all right, well, whatever. In a sinister plot that pushes him to the edge of a fall more dangerous than any stunt.
So a quick summary. Colt is a stunt double for the biggest action star, Tom Rider. Colt broke his back doing a stunt from falling down several floors, and after that accident, he went into hiding. When he did that, he basically pushed Jody, the woman he was having a relationship with, away. She tried to reach out to him, but he was closed off. 18 months later, he was tricked into returning to be a stuntman for the new film Jody was directing. It was all a ruse by producer Gail Meyer to frame Colt for a murder that Tom Ryder committed on his current stunt double. Wow, that was not nice.
Nope.
Anyway, Colt and Jody worked together to clear Colt's name and get evidence that Tom was the actual killer. Turns out, Tom also was the cause of the accident that sent Colt into early retirement.
I love that sound effect.
I think you do, yes.
Oh, because it's really fitting right there.
Okay, so shall we go into the good then?
The action sequences are top-notch.
Well, it was directed by a former stunt double, so yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying it...
He knew his stuff.
Yes, well, duh. But it flowed so beautifully and it felt very seamless, whereas sometimes when you're watching it, either they do some edits or they do some jump cuts, and it kind of is jarring.
Mm-hmm.
This is very seamless.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I thought that the chemistry between Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt was just great.
Oh, yeah. It made me every now and again look and be like, Barbenheimer.
That's too funny.
I found the cast in general to be, like, there was a seamlessness there, too. It seemed, I don't know how to explain it. Just when everything did pick up and start going, it really felt like a nice, smooth, enjoyable film. Everybody seemed to be having fun. The chemistry felt authentic. The friendships felt authentic. The idiocy and cruelty, a little to the border of disbelief.
Well, it had to be somewhat over the top, right, for the story.
But even still, with modern day technology and everything, I can see where it doesn't fall into the realm of disbelief, but it kind of toes that line, which was impressive.
Mm-hmm. I saw some behind the scenes footage where, you know, they had Ryan Gosling like harnessed, you know, that scene in the trailer where he's basically surfing beside the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, without all of the rig attached to him, like, okay. So I thought that was a really incredible shot. And I didn't realize, you know, but you don't know. And then you see it and then you're like, oh, okay, makes so much sense. I'm like, you know what? That would be so much fun to do.
No.
Yes.
Oh, see, you know what? This is what I think is going to happen. You can go and be trained to do stunt work, which you would probably enjoy because you are an adrenaline junkie. And I will just write the scenes for you from the safety of the couch.
Anyway.
The point is, it's just in the credits, the after scene where you would see all of the stunts and how they were working and the homage to stunts and the team and how much they put their bodies on the line. Really and truly, it is a craft that needs to have a little bit of love
recognition.
And I'm thankful this film gave it.
Yeah.
And did it in a way where you really feel it.
Yeah. And it's actually, this is credit to Ryan Gosling's character, right? Because stunt doubles are supposed to be tough. Right? Mm-hmm. Because they're doing all the stunts, or most of the stunts, especially the dangerous ones. And in the film, he was actually showing that, oh, that really hurt, even though he was giving a thumbs up, right? And it's one of those things where you know that it's tough on the body, like you were saying. You know, they get bruises and I'm sure broken bones if something goes awry. And his delivery of that, where it shows the human aspect of it, they know how to do it safely.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they're not getting hurt, right? Getting bumps and bruises and all of that. And the movie is so much better for it.
Yeah. To me, this, you know, quote unquote love letter to the stunt team, it was really well done. And I think if anybody else was behind this, except for someone who had understood the craft, I don't think it would have done as well.
So my understanding is it from IMDb Pro, actually, when I was reading through looking for some trivia, this movie has been in the works for a long time and that it took a long list of actors before they landed on Ryan Gosling. So I'm like, oh, okay.
You know what? Sometimes it takes a lot of effort and a lot of time to get all of the best working pieces to make things happen.
Yeah.
And it came out exactly how it was meant to. And like I said, it's a fun, seamless homage and the love letter.
Yeah. Speaking of love letters, you love the music.
Oh, wow. Did I love the music? I was trying, like, I was mouthing all the words to the songs.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've like Taylor Swift's All Too Well, Journey, Any Way You Want It, Kiss, Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, AC/DC. And that's just naming a few of them.
I know. I could see myself doing karaoke to Phil Collins, actually.
Mm-hmm. I immediately, when she's singing, oh gosh, what was the song? When she was singing the Phil Collins song.
How can you just walk away from me?
Yeah, that. All I thought of was you and Emily Blunt in karaoke. You'd have a field day.
I would.
And on the other spectrum, I'd be the one at the bar drinking, trying to hide when they called my name.
Oh.
I would be like, all right, I'm going to go help my buddy instead of, you know.
No. Okay, any other good?
No, I'm good. I say we jump right into the themes.
Okay.
I think for me, one of the main themes I got out of this is that just because the stunt personnel is not being shown on screen, their face does not make them any less of a person because their face isn't on screen.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, you had, you know, Tom Ryder and Gail Meyer, the producer. They kind of treat others that they're all below them. Tom Ryder even says, I do all my own stunts, and everybody knows he doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Even his second stunt double, he kicks him in the chest because he says, I do all my own stunts. And the other guy's like, yeah, right. Because he knows. He's like, I'm the one doing them all, but you're taking credit for it.
Yeah.
So he kicks him, and then the guy hits the table the wrong way, and he snaps his neck.
Yep.
Point is, Tom Ryder takes credit for what his stunt person does. Gail, she's going to fix it. She's the quote-unquote fixer who sweeps everything under the rug and makes it go away. So who she's going to throw away? She throws away, you know, Colt, because he's retired. He's working as a valet.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to throw him away because he doesn't matter. And then she even has the audacity to look at Jody and be like, you know, the only reason you're directing your first film is because I gave you that opportunity.
Yeah.
It's because of me that you're here. Not Jody's hard work, not all of her effort, nothing. It's Gail. Gail's taking credit for Jody's success.
When I was watching this, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, they're not really nice people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that they were the villains, but it made so much more sense. You might have picked up on it, but I didn't. Until towards like the middle, I'm like, oh, you know what? What if it's all they're doing and then it ended up being that?
I kind of knew they would be the villains. How they would be the villain, I wasn't quite sure until about halfway through, where I was like, you know, this is too convoluted, especially when Colt finds the stunt person's body in the tub on ice, and then he calls the police, and then they go back, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That was very suspicious. I mean, that kind of was to the realm of disbelief, because you don't know how long from the time he found the police to the time they get up there, but it had to be an inside person.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody would just drop by and go, oh, hey, there's a body in a tub. Might want to remove it.
Yeah.
You know, housekeeping did not come up.
Yeah. You know, they are classic representations of people who will do anything to succeed.
They don't know when enough is enough.
Right.
I mean, to the point of where they're literally covering up a murder to stay doing what they're doing.
Right.
Because they believe they're entitled.
Right.
You know, that I kind of would go into the next point of underestimating people.
Mm.
They underestimate the stunt team.
Well, to your earlier point, they think that they are below them, right? Mm-hmm. So they're far superior. They're far more cunning. So
they actually have the muscle and the understanding of how their bodies move to pull off all of the stunts, which actually catches Tom Ryder and Gail in that ending.
Oh, sorry. You're talking about the stunt people. I'm actually talking about Tom and Gail thinking that they're above everybody.
Oh, no. I'm referring to that they were underestimated, but they are stronger physically, mentally, emotionally to handle what's coming to them, because in any moment, one stunt goes wrong and their lives could be over.
Yep.
So they understand pressure and they can stay calm under it, whereas the other two cannot.
Yeah. Because as you were saying, their livelihood depends on it. I mean, I can't even imagine, right? Going back to that 8.5 role, you're driving the car, you know what's going to happen. I can just imagine the driver of that car, like heart racing and everything. But they do have to keep everything calm because they have a job to do in order for it to go off without a hitch.
Mm-hmm. And they have to stay loose because they can't, if you flex or tense, you might break something.
Right.
When they shot inside that scene, when they were doing the rolls, I believe his hands actually kind of cross over his chest to just lean back and let it happen. Mm. It just looked like if I gave him a coffee, he would be drinking it. I was like, I couldn't imagine doing that.
Yeah. And the whole sequencing of this thing is just fascinating to me, right? Mm-hmm. Every single thing, every single calculation has to be just right. Because mm-hmm. like you said earlier, they have to practice, right? So they have to be able to practice it the same way each and every time. And to have that specificity to happen every single time is just mind-blowing to me.
Which is why you should never underestimate someone who's that meticulous. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, one of the scenes that I loved so much in this movie was Ryan Gosling using the champagne bottles, and he was high in that scene.
Seeing the unicorn all the time was hysterical.
Yeah. Using the champagne bottles as weapons, just wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. But there's another thing that was brought up, and I don't know if it was meant to, when Colt comes back, the first thing that they do is they scan his upper body, shoulders and up. So they're scanning his face in. And when someone, you know, he asks someone why they did that, they said, oh, it's all the new thing. We basically scan you in and then we can put Ryder's face on you. And in theory, that is a great thing because the stunt person's face, if they have to do something very scary, but they want to get a close up and they can't risk putting the other individual in that spot, they can do a close up and then just replace the face with CGI after the fact. In this case, what I appreciated is that they showed the darker side of it, which is in some way really scary. Mm-hmm.
The deep fake.
Someone can literally scan your face in and put it on anybody. It's bad enough that people are using snippets of clips or editing random posts and audio and video to suit their narrative of argument. But now you can literally create proof to back yourself up. And I don't know how you disprove that and get it out to where it stops. Mm. You hear the statement, a lie can traverse the world while the truth is tying its shoes. So seeing the way they did that and seeing how quickly Holt's face is on Tom's body, and then that's released and all of a sudden the world is looking for Colt. Mm-hmm. It's kind of terrifying that this could happen to a good person. And before anybody thinks it can't happen to good people, what if somebody sends you a video of your relative hurt or lost or stuck somewhere and you can't get a hold of your relative and you're going to think they're stuck and you're going to give money away or you're going to give your identification away because it looks like someone having a conversation with you. All of these things are really scary. And then take the actor's side of things. You can scan somebody in and all of a sudden now I have them and I can make them extras in anything and not pay them. This was part of the strike.
I was going to say, yeah, that was the whole contention there.
So I loved that they highlighted that and showed how it could be used in a negative way. It was interesting to see them touch on it because that was the final nail in Colt's coffin. Mm-hmm. When that was released, the world believed he was a murderer.
Right.
And even if he cleared his name, it would still be out there no matter what.
Right. And that's why they had to do that whole scene where they got the confession out of Tom that, yes, he actually did kill his stunt double. So any other themes that we need to touch on?
No, I'm going to let you jump into the bad.
Okay. So for me, the movie itself, after the accident, which was the first, I don't know, 5 minutes of the film, it was very slow to get to the meat of the story. I was actually getting a little bit bored with it. And as soon as the action picked up again, then I was like, oh, okay, now, you know, now I was enjoying it a little bit more. But until the point of where, you know, the champagne things, mm-hmm. that's when I was like, okay, you know what, let me give this movie a chance. And then it turned out to be really great through the end. But it was very slow.
I do agree. And I've been thinking about this. I do wonder if maybe editing or trimming things in the beginning would have allowed the action to fill in. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, you have such amazing action. You have Colt doing the voiceovers. You have all of these things that were pulling you into the story and then you kind of stopped. And I don't know if that was deliberate because his life stopped.
Right.
And then it picked back up a little bit when he showed back up. Even when he's on fire and she's asking him questions, which is my cute, you know, Jody making Colt do the fire scene over and over and over again while they're having that talk they should have had eons ago, mm-hmm. which is an adorable little scene where she's going, yeah, but what if? And then Colt's replying the same. And this really is a conversation you expect to happen behind closed doors.
Yep.
It's an adorable scene. There's my cue. But even that scene, it was in an area where if you were bored, you might have gone to the bathroom and missed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish there had been a way to edit that dead zone in order to maybe bring it back. Even if you're showing where Jody is and what's happening, mm-hmm. like a montage, if you had to. I know those are cliche,
right.
but there had to be some way to kind of bridge the gap a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because the action is so good that when you then don't have it, the film feels less.
Yeah. And I do agree with that, because when they were together, they were all lovey-dovey, right? At the very beginning. And then he dropped off for 18 months. So there is that tension there when they see each other again. So I understand it's going to be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And in some scenes, it's painful to watch because it is trying to get to know each other, trying to why things happen the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily Blunt's character, Jody, is totally hurt that this happened. And she hasn't forgiven him yet.
And he doesn't know how to apologize.
Yeah. And because he is a stuntman, he is not supposed to show any kind of weakness. And that's, again, you know, to the point earlier that he was showing the human side of this. There is vulnerability there for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, any other bad?
Mm-mm.
You went a little bit to the cute already.
Yeah, I know, but I needed to bring the cute in order to, you know, support the bad.
Mm.
That's a weird way of saying it.
Okay, so any other cute for you?
Yeah, I love it when he leans over to the puppy and he seatbelts him in and he goes, I'll buy him a drink later and engage your core.
Right.
That was just adorable.
Like, yes, engage the core. I love that there were cameos at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I had actually forgotten that The Fall Guy was a TV show in
the
80s. I forgot until Lee Majors was on the screen. I was like, oh, yes, I remember that.
That was vaguely. Amazing. That was awesome.
And Heather Thomas was there too,
mm-hmm.
in that scene. And that was really great. And then when Tom Ryder was arrested because he murdered somebody, the film still went on, but now with a new actor in his place.
They had to reshoot everything.
They had to reshoot everything. And it was with Jason Momoa. I'm like, yes, that's so
He's
perfect.
He's comedy gold.
Oh my God, it's great. I love it.
It was great to see that little trailer ending, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any other cute then?
Do you have any good, bad, cute unicorn poop?
No, but there was a unicorn in this film.
There was. That's why I had to say it.
Okay, so I guess that is our discussion of The Fall Guy. Now it is time for our Forever Fangirls rating. Drum roll, please. We rate The Fall Guy 4 stars. And we agree on this rating.
Yes, we do. So I guess all that's left to discuss is flop or not. Can this film develop legs to success? And I think it can. It might take a little bit to get there, but, you know, we saw it earlier in the week. We were 2 of 6 people in one of the largest theaters.
Yeah.
I don't know if nicer weather, considering we're still close to that, you know, yucky winter stuff, if the nicer weather had an effect in the Northeast. But, you know, with 83% critics and 86 from viewers on Rotten Tomatoes, as well as 7.3 stars on IMDb at the time of this recording, seems to be like everyone's on the same page as us. I think it's a fun film, and I do see it making its budget back. I'm not quite sure where they would go from here with the storyline if they decide to greenlight a sequel.
I agree. I mean, it's a fun movie to usher in the summer blockbuster season, right? It was slower than I'd like it to be in the beginning, but once the action started really kicking it into high gear, it was cooking. I'm doing a lot of cooking. Give me a break.
Dad joke central.
Anyway. If we go by the worldwide haul, it's likely that the film will make its budget back. It won't have the same success as Barbie, though.
Really? You're comparing it to Barbie?
Well, because you know what? Greta Gerwig and Ryan Gosling.
And just the beginning of summer.
Exactly. So I'm just, you know, I'm there.
Okay.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it might make enough to open the door to a sequel. But to your point, I don't know where the story would go from there. Because presumably they're off in a beach somewhere drinking spicy margarita, making bad decisions.
I think this is a great self-contained film. So I really hope it makes its budget, but I hope it doesn't lead to
something else,
a sequel. If anything, let them do a television series off it. Let them reboot the series and put it on a streaming service. That would work.
Okay.
But anyway, The Fall Guy is a fun film with great action sequences. Sure, it might take a little bit to get going, but overall, the film is worth it. The romance at the heart is adorable and believable, and at the end of the day, just buckle in, engage your core, and enjoy the ride.
Yep, couldn't agree more.
Really, you don't? I mean, nothing?
Nope.
Nothing?
Mm-mm.
So that is going to be our show for today, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in to our review of The Fall Guy. If you'd like to reach out to us here at the Forever Fangirls podcast, we have several ways you can do that. You can go to our website, foreverfangirls.com, and find links to our Discord, social media, contact form, and easy access to subscriptions and past episodes. And do not forget to head to fanfusionuk.com to see the guests lineup and see all of the ticket availability for To the Rescue this July.
Yes. And until next time, stay safe, be kind, and remember, Colt said, "I'm not the hero, I'm just a double." But in this film, he definitely is the hero, who goes off to a beach somewhere, drinking a spicy margarita, making some bad decisions.